On the phone, we are joined by Green Party MP Steve Abel. Now, good morning, Steve. How are you?
Morning. Well, thank you.
Now, obviously, the Greenpeace's March for Nature recently happened right here in the heart of Tamaki. What was the turnout like and what was the atmosphere like during the event? And do you think the government is will or has responded to any concerns raised by protesters regarding the fast track bill?
Yeah, so I mean, the march was stunning. I don't know if I presume some of your listeners would have got there. It was they had estimated 20,000 people. I thought it was potentially more than that. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the scale of the march against mining in 2010, which was billed at sort of 40,000 people, and it felt very similar in scale. And that a mobilisation of that size is a real mark of deep public discontent in opposition to the Luxon government's sort of anti-nature, anti-Māori, extract and destroy policies. And in the first instance, no government can ignore that level of public dissent entirely. They have to take some notice of it, and it would be foolish not to.
Yes, it takes a lot to get 20 to 40,000 people out off the couch in the modern era, and that is certainly is a statement if you've got that number of people.
Yeah, and I guess it's because we have such, you know, decades since we've had a government that is so regressive on the environment and nature protection. You know, the multitude of actions they've taken that explicitly back extractive, exploitative industries, bringing back oil and gas, getting rid of Te Manawatawai, the water protections, saying yes to Aussie gold miners and seabed mining in Taranaki, 20-year extensions on every single marine farm in the country without any say from regional councils or local people.
What aspects are the most concerning? Because these all sound absolutely shocking to me.
It is shocking, and it really is, you know, it's worse than the stuff that the John Key government was doing.
Yes.
It's back to the sort of 1979 Development Act of Muldoon, and that reference has been made by the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment. You know, it's really radically anti-environment, and taking a 19th century mentality that we just have to use extraction to drive the economy, and if that means sending species extinct like Archie's frog, or if that means, you know, just getting rid of protections of wetlands and significant natural areas so that we can have coal mining, we're going to do it. And that's their attitude, and it's quite extraordinary.
Mm. Do you think a public demonstration like the March for Nature will have any influence on shaping policy for environmental issues with this government, or are they just not going to listen?
I don't think you can ever do just one thing. So a massive mobilisation like that had a bigger impact. 27,000 submissions against the fast track is a really impressive turnout as well by the public. I'm sitting on the Primary Production Select Committee, and we've heard the public submissions on the marine farms, which is a rushed piece of legislation sort of pushed through under semi-urgency, and we're getting lots of feedback on that against that. We're also hearing the water reform laws and lots of public submissions against that as well. Mm. So one really cool thing being in Parliament is the extent of public engagement on all these things. Like, people really care, and they're taking the time to make submissions, which is not necessarily the most exciting thing to do with your day, but it actually has a real impact at that political level. It puts on the record that level of opposition. And what we're saying is that these companies can have no certainty that a new government, a change of government, and a green government will uphold these consents if we review them, if we choose to take a look at them and consider that they haven't had proper public input, they haven't had proper environmental consideration, they're not taking into account climate change, they're not taking into account the biodiversity crisis, and specifically the fast track doesn't take into account Te Tiriti or Waitangi. It allows iwi who have specific settlements to have a say, but that's the extent of it, and there's no local say on consents applied for in a given region. So these things are really kind of unconstitutional at that level, and so there's very sound grounds for having a reassessment with the change of government.
Yeah.
And that gives no certainty to these industries either, because they may go through the fast track and may get a consent. To take the Trans-Tasman Resources seabed mining in Taranaki example, they've spent 10 years trying to get approval, and they keep getting knocked back by the Environment Protection Authority. They've been strongly opposed by local iwi in Taranaki, and the fishing industry is against them too, because of this massive impact of sucking up millions of tonnes of seabed over the course of 35 years, and that is something the fishing industry is saying, this is going to destroy our industry because you're destroying the basic ecology that we rely on.
Oh, man.
And they haven't managed to get it across the line, and now they're going to try and do it through the fast track.
Oh.
The Supreme Court knocked them back. And this is these are the sorts of projects that should be dead in the dust, you know.
Yes.
But this government's coming and said, hey, you got another chance, you can come back again, you can bypass all that.
Holy
you can bypass the courts, you can bypass the EPA, and you can just come get a tick. So it's truly radically anti-environmental. And I don't think most New Zealanders want to see the environment treated that way. I think we mostly as a nation do have a general...
Isn't it like the people's number one concern?
Good idea.
Isn't the environment?
It may rate differently in polls, but it's definitely a high concern.
Top five.
It's kind of a deep held value, you know, that we don't want to see the environment trashed so an Aussie gold company can make some money. The other extraordinary one I just came across recently was, well, you know, the Te Wai Korapupu Springs, which is among the clearest waters in the world down in Taikaka, Golden Bay. These extraordinary springs. And there's an Aussie gold company that wanted to crush millions of tons of arsenic-laden rock and then mingle it with cyanide to extract the gold in the catchment area of the Wai Korapupu. You know, thereby potentially kill the special organisms that keep the springs so clean. And there's a water conservation order in that area. There's only 16 of them in the whole country, and that one specifically acknowledges the spiritual value of the springs, both to Tangata Whenua and to Tauiri, Tangata Tiriti. And the fast track overrides that water conservation order and says,
if
the Aussie gold company wants to go and do that, they should have an opportunity to apply to do that. And it's really next level. And my message is we have to keep mobilising. It doesn't just take one tactic to do it. We have to find all the opportunities to keep sending this message to the Luxon government that this is not the future we want for Aotearoa.
Yes. Are there any upcoming Green Party initiatives to safeguard or, you know, try and drive some change?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be stuff coming out. You'll see. I mean, the main thing we're doing right now is, as these specific bits of separate legislation go through the House, we're just inviting people to come in and mobilise and send the message loud and clear. And that does matter. You know, each little thing that people do, whether it's take the 5 or 10 minutes to make a submission or take a bit longer to make a submission, it sends that message. When there's another march and another mobilisation, turn up to it, you know. Mm. When there's a protest, when there's an opportunity to express how you feel about this stuff, it really does matter. And it all adds up to a movement and a mobilisation that really becomes irresistible for a government. If they refuse to ignore it, they do it at their political cost, ultimately. And when you think about the movement against the apartheid in South Africa, the movement against nuclear ships coming into New Zealand waters, the movement against the oil and gas industry, which eventually meant it got banned in 2018. These things work, you know, and we can have an impact, and we shouldn't let our agency be taken from us. We have to realise we all are, as citizens, we have the ability to have a political impact, and we should take that.
Get into it. If we've sparked some interest, Steve, where can people just go online to just stay abreast of any developments or find out more? Is there a point of contact?
Well, I mean, one thing we'll be at the for OWEC, we're going to be at the University of Auckland Greens. Will be doing a stall on Wednesday next week, I think, up at uni and throughout the country at different OWECs. But probably the best thing is to jump onto the Green Party website and look for mobilisation opportunities that are there, like J jumping on for the submissions, but also go to other, you know, organisations like Greenpeace and Forest and Bird and so forth. A lot of those NGOs are doing, pushing for things to happen all the time. They, you know, and it may start with a petition, but then you may get contacted again and someone will say, hey, you showed an interest in this, would you like to come and be part of this? And it's, you know, it's a, it feels like you're doing something and it feels meaningful and it gives you a sense of agency and it's a great thing to do.
Excellent.
It's how we make change happen.
Excellent. Hey, Steve, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. We will look forward to speaking to you in the future, mate.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers, brother. Hey.
See you. Bye. Radio B.